Hello and welcome to the Business of Sustainability podcast, our latest show in partnership with City AM, in which we will be discussing the latest trends, challenges and advancements in the sustainability and ESG landscape. My name's Mike Penrose and I'll be co-hosting this alongside Alex Smith. You may already know us both as the co-founders of Future Plus, the sustainability and ESG management and reporting platform that can help any size of business and type of business improve its sustainability. This podcast series is for anyone looking for valuable insights on sustainability in business. We'll be hearing from a range of experts in the ESG and sustainability sectors, including investors, innovators, and regulators. We'll look to provide you with expert analysis and opinions on the future of sustainability in business, including some of the most pressing challenges facing us all.
I'm delighted to introduce our two guests for today's episode from L&R Hotels, which owns and manages an extensive hotel portfolio with over 23,000 bedrooms across the UK, Europe, the US and the Caribbean. Tristan, Francisco, thank you both for joining us. Before we get started with today's episodes, perhaps you could give us both a quick introduction.
Tristan Swales, Management Director and Operations Director for London Regional Hotels. Been with the company for just over 2 years now.
I'm Francisco and I'm the Operations Director for Iconic Luxury Hotels. We operate under the London and Regional portfolio and I've been with the company for about 5 years.
Excellent. Thank you both. In today's episode, we'll be exploring the current sustainability challenges facing the hospitality industry, how the industry might look in the future, and what innovations are being created in business. Mike, I'll let you kick off today with the first question.
Thanks very much, Alex. Tristan, I'll start with you. In every industry today, sustainability is becoming an absolute. It's becoming a mainstay. And we're finding this more and more in the hospitality sector. How do you see its current role in your sector as it is today, and how do you see it progressing?
So I think it's obviously incredibly important and it's vital within our hospitality industry. We're obviously a very big industry. We've got hotels, pubs, restaurants, and so on. And so we make up a huge part of the sector. I think over the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen sustainability grow within our sector and was forming trends. But very much over the last couple of years, it's become an absolute standard and a huge part of our business.
And across all your hotels, what are the sort of strategies you look at? What are the key considerations you look at the moment when you're considering buying a hotel, when you're running a hotel? What are the first things you look at and what do you see developing as some of the core considerations?
So we take a holistic approach through all of our hotels. We are using some hotels to trial various different initiatives to see whether they work and what sort of impact it has. And as soon as we understand that we've got the golden nugget, we essentially rolling them out to all of the individual hotels.
And what are some of the golden nuggets that you've found at the moment?
Some of the golden nuggets really are, expanding on what we've done in the past and really setting energy reduction targets. We have spent a lot of time analyzing over the last 2 years what our baseline figures are, essentially, and have targeted all of the hotels to reduce various different consumption levels, whether it be energy consumption, whether it be waste reduction. Within our sector, we've got various different departments, whether it be food and beverage and kitchens that typically can be quite wasteful departments out there. And of course, we're relying quite a vast supply chain as well, where there's obviously quite a big impact there.
And Francisco, the same question to you, but you manage the Iconic and Luxury. Great name, by the way. And it is clearly luxury hospitality. There's a certain standard that's expected. What are some of the nuggets you've seen? What are some of the challenges you face?
Just before going into the nuggets that we found and how we've taken it, it's important to understand how it has evolved over the last few years, particularly in the luxury segment where people originally thought that you were doing things because you wanted to reduce costs opposed to actually drive sustainability. So there is a huge interest and a huge focus in educating our guests actually to understand where we're going and what sustainability really means. We need to understand, particularly within our properties that are generally quite old properties, we need to understand exactly what the consumptions are, where are we wasting, and then we can start putting targets in place. And yes, we target energy consumption is one of them. But our focus at this stage is really educating our guests to understand that sustainability is there to stay. And it's not just another trend. Like probably 10 years ago, we were thinking, oh, it's just a trend. And in 2-3 years down the line, it's going to be gone.
And do you think some of that, you know, educating guests, but is that also coming the other way? Are you finding, is there now an expectation from certain groups of people that are booking that they are looking for a more sustainable version of what they're after? And they're sort of pushing you as much as you having to educate?
100%. Within our businesses, you having to educate some and you being educated by others in reality. And I think whilst we focus in educating some of the demographic and some of our guests and consumers, we're also being driven by some of our clients, some of our corporate clients and so on to actually drive sustainability as a main initiative. And a lot of businesses now, we find it more and more that they don't want to do any business with you. They don't want to stay in your properties if you're not driving sustainability at the forefront of everything you do. So it's key that we keep it going and quickly, I think.
And I think this is a really interesting point as well. You're saying driving sustainability at the forefront. I imagine a challenge as well is what you've alluded to, the communications challenge, because you are a public-facing business. You, particularly with Iconic and Luxury, have a very particular clientele. And how do you communicate it in a way that meets their expectations, but also shows, as you were saying, a lot of the bigger corporates, that you are living the values that you profess to have and you're listening to them, that you're reacting? What's the communication challenge you find?
I think we've looked at different ways of communicating, and across all of our properties, we need to adapt the communication according to the style of property and what we're trying to achieve. But in some of our properties, we focus our messaging about what we're trying to protect. So, i.e., if you decide to keep your towels up, what does that drive? And, you know, is less laundry going through, is less carbon emissions because it's not being collected and so on. But is that all to protect the environment where it is actually based, where the properties are based? And by educating actually what that potentially generates, we can see that there is more and more interest in the guests in taking part of that journey with you, particularly as over 50% of our guests are regular guests. So you can actually educate them and actually explain to them more so than putting a statement in a website and say, this is what we're doing.
I guess that depends on some of the properties that you have as well, which are very nature-based. You know, you walk out the door and you're surrounded by, I mean, you've got some really urban hotels, for example, but actually some of them you can't help but know where you are. And I suppose that provides a different pull or a drive for people to see a very direct impact on what they're doing and into where they are. And I think, you know, you've done some interesting stuff in some of those hotels as well to really drive that recognition and education.
Yeah, but I also think in the same vein, we've also got every 10 years, a lot of new younger team members wanting to come and join our hotels. And I think equally so, we're taking advantage really of a lot of the young people coming in and having interviews. We found over the last couple of years that people have been generally asking us, you know, inquisitive questions about, you know, what we're doing in terms of sustainability. And a couple of years ago, we turned it on its head and essentially as part of the recruitment process, shared what we are doing in terms of sustainability, had that as part of the induction process and making sure that we walk the walk and talk the talk in the environment, because it's important to the younger generation and it should absolutely and is important to us as we go through life.
I think there are increasing calls, as you've said, from consumers to make sure that everything you do becomes more and more sustainable or greener, et cetera. And going back to that luxury setting, you also run something where people, when they're paying the money they do to stay in some of your hotels, will be uncompromising about what they expect for it. How do you create that balance in a luxury setting of providing what you said at the beginning people thought initially was a cost reduction measure in a way that upholds the luxury and the level of service that we know they expect when they're staying in some of the most iconic hotels in the UK?
To me, it's all about education. It's really ensuring that both our teams as well as our guests are fully educated as to why we've done that initiative, being large format toiletries in hotel bedrooms and other areas, but just giving the information and actually explaining to every single team member, to every single guest, being able to spend the time and explain to them why actually we've done that. You're not replenishing all your toiletries and so on. Then the more you educate your guests, the more willing they are to go in the journey with you, the more understanding they are. are. However, there are guests that will always say, well, I don't really care. I'm paying for a service and this is what I want. And you have to adapt to it. You have to adapt to your guests. You have to adapt. Ultimately, you're nothing if you don't have your clients, if you don't have your guests. So you need to adapt to them. But the more, with the time, the more we go through the journey, the more willing our guests will be to be taking part on that journey. But the key is spending the time with the team, really going through it. If the team doesn't understand why you're doing, your guests will never understand it, because undoubtedly those guests will be asking your team why you've done it. And why did you change since their last say? So it's important that the team is comfortable and believes in the change you're doing.
Another thing this is fascinating. You didn't hear the last podcast we did, but if you listen, a lot of that was based around how you incentivize employees, how you create a healthy, what they call organizational biology, but a healthy work environment. And a lot of that is both about communicating and listening. And I think the conclusion is, especially on service industries, your best advocates are your staff. But if they don't understand what it is you're doing, they can't advocate for you. But to that point, and Tristan, something you said about a younger generation coming through, how much is that now being driven? How many of the ideas coming forward are now from the younger team members coming in, and how engaged do you feel they are in the process?
If you had asked me the same question 5 or 10 years ago, I would have said it would be the senior team members that we had to seriously encourage to get involved in, you know, green departments, green initiatives and so on. What we're finding at the moment is very much the younger generation putting their hands up and wanting to be the voice for their department, or wanting to kind of have their kind of voice heard. But it's equally important. There is a huge amount of data in terms of sustainability. And if we don't break it down into something that's manageable and something that's understandable, as Francesca was saying, to make sure that everyone understands, everyone is able to communicate what we are doing and why we're doing it, you know, then it's difficult for everyone to kind of understand. So it's equally on us to break it down, make it fun, make it enjoyable, have dashboards and so on, rather than pages and pages of information that, you know, people are going to be switching off after 10 paragraphs.
Going back to both your answers, that redefining of what luxury is, and that luxury can be sustainable, and it's just maybe a slightly different version of that is an incredibly important part, but also making it attainable and achievable for staff members to be able to communicate that seems to be an incredibly important part of creating transformation and change over that period of time that it needs to happen.
Without a doubt, luxury and fine dining is absolutely here to stay. It's not going to change in the next 10, 20 years. The onus is very much as onto us as operators. What are we able to kind of do to make sure that the guests aren't disadvantaged? And we're going through an exercise at the moment to relook at all of our different policies and challenging our supply chain on what their policies are. And we're actually finding a bit of a squeaky wheel moment here, that the more you kind of challenge your suppliers on what are they doing, what are their energy reduction, where are their waste management reduction targets and so on, the more you kind of push, the more ability you have to change the entire supply chain, which inadvertently doesn't affect the guest at all.
You have so many different people coming through your service. Is it both through that guest experience and through the staff and through the supply chain?
I think you've got a huge amount of staff and a huge amount of people that work in hospitality. So actually we can drive through that area, because if our team is engaged in it, they understand it, why you would do it in hospitality, why you wouldn't do it in hospitality, why would you do it in luxury, why you wouldn't do it, then suddenly you start breaking it down. And then by involving them in the decision making, then actually you can drive that initiative. Ultimately, they want to be part of the solution. So by turning the tables and actually asking them to come forward with the ideas, with the drive, with the passion, and us as leaders or managers of our organizations, we can then turn back and explain in some cases as to why probably we can't do certain things because our guests won't accept it at this stage, but it's something that we can put on the pipeline for later. But by driving through our teams and our guests, then eventually, if people like what they see, they will want to, everywhere they go, they will want to see a similar take in it. So I think we've got a huge opportunity because we have a lot of bedrooms, a lot of hotels. So we can definitely drive that. But we also employ a huge amount of people within our businesses. So
One of the things that I enjoy most about doing what we do is sparking curiosity with people to actually realize they can do things differently. Have you found the same thing has happened with other hotels and other people in the industry as well? I mean, you guys are obviously leading the charge in certain areas of what you do, but and sustainability, are you finding that's part of that, that people are sort of spotting what you're doing and creating a change in the industry as a whole?
Absolutely. Over the last 6 to 8 months, we have created various different dashboards and shared within our group where people are leading the charge, and some of our city hotels are leading the charge in one particular area, and our iconic luxury hotels are leading in another. We've also got various different elements of expertise in some of our hotels, and so we're essentially allowing those ones to run ahead and share their wins and losses with the other hotels and where the opportunities exist.
And it's about testing some of those changes and actually seeing, okay, well, instead of rolling it out before you actually understood what the impact of that is, and by doing those testings and just seeing, okay, actually it's really worked, so let's take it further. A particular hotel might have implemented a strategy and they've communicated with the team and they further forward. Therefore, we then know that actually by taking a similar approach, we will make it go forward in other properties. So it's about ensuring that we're sharing best practices all the time, which we do. And the more we do that, then we're also a very close industry. So even outside of our own businesses, we will naturally be sharing best practices, which then drives other businesses, other hospitality businesses to actually, you know, it's a bit of FOMO effect where everybody has a fear of missing out, and they want to be there. They want to be at the forefront. They want to be doing the same that you're doing or better. So there is a bit of a competitive side in it, which in fairness will help sustainability go forward quicker.
There have also been elements in the past where I think us as leaders, we try something and it's difficult to acknowledge that things haven't quite sort of worked out well. And I think it's important as leaders that whatever we try doesn't work out, we acknowledge, take ownership of that and move on to the next opportunity. And as you said, you know, engaging in various different forums inside our business and outside our business as well to, you know, challenge each other. We're all in it together. I guarantee you 99% of all our challenges are exactly the same. And it's about learning together as one rather than looking as competitors.
And a little bit to that point, you know, the City AM audience works in finance, which means they will travel a lot. They will be traveling a lot, and many of them will be staying in luxury hotels. What advice would you give to the listeners, to the consumers, of what to look for, how to know a hotel is doing the right things or has the right culture to create sustainability? Because a lot of what you've been talking about is how you create it as a culture, not just a set of actions. And, you know, how can they avoid staying in somewhere that's greenwashing rather than somewhere that's genuine?
I think, unfortunately, until sometimes you've been there and you've seen it, you can't differentiate if they've been greenwashing or they're actually really doing what they're saying that they're doing. If you look through forums, if you look through, you know, all social media and so on, you can quickly identify and understand if certain properties are definitely doing greenwashing or not. But there is a huge amount of certifications and so on that goes with sustainability. But I think if you're planning to stay in hotels, it's about how do you plan your journey, where is it based, you know, how long you're going to stay, can you contribute to their sustainability initiative, do you replace your plastic water bottle by a refillable water bottle, what initiatives do they have, and does that align with what you have in mind as a luxury guest and so on. Ultimately, it needs to do what you need to do for you as a guest, but it does need to fit. And if you're not at the forefront of the sustainability at this stage, even as a guest, you will eventually have to get in it anyway. So you either get on the bus now, or you're going to have to get on it a few months down the line anyway, because it's not going away, as we said. So,
And as we were talking about earlier, I think one of the lessons we've learnt working with a vast array of hospitality clients, advice we'd add is that retrofitting something after you've begun operations is going to cost you multiples of what it would have cost you to build it in from the very beginning and consider it from the outset of a project.
Correct, correct. It's also fair to say that a lot of our corporate clients, whether new or existing, are expecting us to, you know, share our policies. And I think one way of identifying whether a company is greenwashing or not is not being able to, you know, provide evidence of that, whether it be through accreditations, whether it be sharing some of the policies, some of the data and so on. And also us being able to kind of share what sort of partnership we're creating with people like Future Plus.
What's the plans for the future? I imagine, just as a sort of two-part question to what's the future, but I imagine you're very much, hospitality is a people industry. It's all about the people. And so that social impact part has got to be as important as the environmental impact. And I think we found previously, as guests in particular, we'll focus on that social. So where do you go from here on social and environmental? What's next?
It's how you support everyone around you, your community, your team members. It's about looking at every single step of the journey, how they're coming to work, where do they live, what challenges do they face. And I think, you know, everything we do, I mean, within one of our properties, within Iconic, you know, there is a contribution when you stay into National Trust who continues to keep those grounds going and so on. We, across all of our sites, we've got our nominated charities, we've got local groups, we've got local working groups that we're constantly supporting with initiatives in order to drive that social impact further. It's never going to end. That's reality. The more you do, the more you actually need to do, unfortunately, because as we look at everything that is happening around the world at the moment, there is more and more needs. So it rests on us as businesses to try and do an even bigger impact at all times. But is listening to our team and our guests as to what they would like us to do. I mean, we in most of our businesses, the teams decide what the charities, which charities we should be supporting yearly. What initiatives we should be supporting, what local initiatives we should be supporting, is all driven by the team. We've got leaders of engaged organization, which is kind of a small committee in a way within our businesses, who continue to drive both green initiatives or sustainability, if we like, and as well, how do we tackle the social impact of every single action we do? Because that's the reality. It's there to stay.
Absolutely. And Tristan, Francesco, I think that's all we've got time for. But thank you very much for joining us. As I said, it's fascinating. It is such an industry that has such a possibility to lead in terms of driving both what sustainability represents and how it's put into practice. And hearing from such a big chain like L&R that you're taking it seriously is a real privilege. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for the invite. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
And to everyone listening, thank you again for tuning into the Business of Sustainability podcast with Future Plus and City AM. We will continue to put a number of these out covering all the themes that we look at in Future Plus, which is climate, environment, diversity and inclusion, economic and social impact. But in the meantime, you can listen to this and our other podcasts on all the major podcast platforms.